So, Father, I thank you today for your goodness. I thank you, God, that we can come in a place like this today and declare who you are. We're not going to declare our circumstances. We're going to declare truth. And that's about who you are. So, Father, I ask God, will of yours, to hear your spirit, not hear Maureen. Hear your spirit and what you are saying to us today, God. You want to help us understand what it means that you wear a victor's crown. What does that mean in my life? God, open our hearts. God, help us get past some of our wrong ways of thinking. Let's just call it what it is. Wrong ways of thinking. Amen. I want to start by reading Matthew 13. I just want to take you on a little bit of a journey I went on. Okay? I'm not some kind of big professional speaker. I just want to be real with you. Okay? I've been on many journeys with God. Thank you, Jesus. Because that's what's changed me. So Matthew 13. Now I'm reading out of the Amplified. I know. It adds stuff. You know, like, isn't the Bible long enough as it is? No. It adds stuff to expand our understanding, just the words and things. So just a heads up. So Matthew 13. Let's just start at verse 3. A sower went out to sow. And you all know this, so don't shut down on me here, okay? We all know the story. Okay. Let's just hear what the Spirit's saying. Some seeds fell by the roadside, and birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they had not much soil. And at once they sprang up, but because there was no depth of soil, okay, when the sun came out, they were scorched, and they had no root, and they dried up and withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and yielded grain. Okay, listen. Other seeds fell on good soil, and they yielded grain. Listen, some 100 times. 100 times. So you're saying to me, if I hear a truth and I let it in my heart, it will multiply 100 times? It could, 60 or even 30. Even 30. Listen, seeds of truth are power. They are power to change a life. Go to verse 18. He says, now listen up. This is what this means. Well, anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp or understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown. This was the roadside. As for what was sown on the rocky soil, he hears the word and at once welcomes it and accepts it, yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary. And when affliction, trouble, or persecution comes on account of that word, at once he is caused to stumble and he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world, the pleasures and delights and glamours and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word, grasps and understand it. He indeed Indeed, it will happen. It's not maybe, let's wait and see what happens. It's indeed. Indeed, it will happen. You got to pay attention sometimes to even just small phrases because they mean something. He will bear fruit. In one case, 100 times as much was sown, in another 60, and in another 30. In Luke 18:15, where this story is also written, it says, "As for what falls in good soil, they are those who hear the word and hold fast in an honest, good heart." Okay, listen, you got to hear this phrase. "And bear fruit with patience." Oh, no. You mean we have to have patience and endurance? Oh, no. You mean I can't just hear something and it should change me? I can't just hear something and I should be able to just move on, or I shouldn't just get healing or pray for my circumstance and it changes and I can go live the way I was living? There's a holding on to truth. The word understand means they join together and it becomes part of you. That's what understanding means. It comes and it joins together to be part of you. So God was speaking to me about, Maureen, I want you to be diligent with truth. You remember the parable in the Bible where it talks about the kingdom is like a treasure? And he went out and he sold everything he had in order to get that treasure. He knew he had to get that treasure. Nothing else in his world mattered but the kingdom of God. Nothing. And I felt like I wasn't being diligent enough with the truth God was bringing me. God would speak to me, and then maybe 2 or 3 days later, like, I'm trying to remember what he said that day. I realized I wasn't nurturing that truth. I wasn't praying over it. It had to come into good soil and change my life. I don't want the cares of this world and my busyness and, I got to do this first and I got to do that first to crowd in. And suddenly it's like, what did God say to me? I want it to bear fruit. And I felt like he was saying, Maureen, I want you to be diligent with what I give you, with what I speak to you. God can speak to you anytime, anywhere, anyhow. I'm not just talking about a church service. Anytime, anywhere. So let's read Colossians. I just want to read a few more scriptures, just lay out the base here. Colossians 3. My problem is I start reading these scriptures and I'm just like, there's so much I want to say. Sometimes I go, shut up, Marie. Okay. So Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, in other words, to a new life, aim and seek the eternal that is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, verse 2. And set your mind and keep your mind set on what is above, not on things that are on earth. Okay. Romans 8. Starting at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh are controlled by its desires, and they set their minds. Same phrase there. Except a different focus here. They set their mind on and pursue things that gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit. Here we go again. Set their mind on and seek things that gratify the Holy Spirit, not their flesh. Now the mind of the flesh, okay, listen, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Ghost. The mind of the flesh is when I want to think things through, reason things, and evaluate things without the Holy Spirit. This is very important. We understand what reason is. It's logic. It's our own mind. So the mind of the flesh, which is sense, reason without the Holy Ghost, is death. Wow, that's pretty blunt. Death. So that's what he says. See what he says about the mind of the Holy Ghost. Is life and peace. So the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and peace. Galatians 5. Verse 16. But I say, sorry, Enid, I know I quote this one all the time, but you need to hear it again, right? This is one of my favorite verses. Live and walk by the Holy Ghost, which means be responsive to him, controlled and guided by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah, praise God. For the desires of the flesh, look, are opposed to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is opposed to the flesh, for they are antagonistic to each other. They will continually withstand and be in conflict with one another. So I realized that I was not spiritually minded enough. Because when I heard truth, I would get my natural mind involved and reason it out and try to figure it out. And how does this apply? How will this work? And what happens when we only use the mind of the flesh and reasoning? Is it's opposed and antagonistic to the Holy Spirit, so it will take us a different direction. Okay, now, I think this is what we do a lot. To say. I really do. Because I've run into this so much. I know that God has spoken truth to someone that will set them free. The Bible says the truth. You will know it and it'll set you free. But we want to reason about it and figure it out and think about it first. And it will take us away from the things of the Spirit. That's not my opinion, by the way. We just read it. Okay? So I'm looking at this and I'm like, I'm not spiritually minded enough. I have been applying reasoning to how to pray. How should we pray about this? Well, what do you think? What do you think? We should get somebody else's opinion. How should we pray about this? A circumstance starts up. Well, I wonder what I should do. Well, maybe I should ask somebody. Maybe we should talk about it first. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Next thing you know, worry, reasoning, fear comes in and we're wondering, oh, why am I in such fear and worry and reasoning? What's going on? John 16:13 says the Holy Ghost will guide you. Okay, listen, I need you to hear this word. Into all truth. All truth. Not just some part and parcel or I'm going to keep you guessing. All truth. Proverbs tells us there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. So I said, God, I need your help with this. I need to change the way I react to truth when you speak to me. I said, God, every time a circumstance happens, something needs to be prayed about, I need to develop in my life God first. Set my mind on things above, not my own reasoning. Okay. This does not mean we don't use our mind. It means we renew our mind. We renew our mind. Our mind, we've read it, is to be set on the things of the Spirit and set on things above. If our mind's not there, our mind's not renewed. Romans 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Okay, we all know this verse, but think about it. Okay. But be transformed and changed 100 times of the seed that was planted. Be transformed and changed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed and changed. So I said, God, I need a transformation here. I am thinking too fleshly. I'm reacting too fleshly. Take me more and more and more into the life of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, did I have a change in my life? I'm like, okay, this is too good. I found that God speaks way more than you think he does. I realize I do tread on snakes and scorpions, 100%. 100% because it's true. I was listening, I don't know if you guys know John Ramirez, but I was listening to a couple of his sermons, and he said, God really dealt with me with that phrase, I'm just human. God said, that's an excuse, John, to never change and be transformed. And somebody asked him a question one time and said, yeah, but I know we're supposed to live by the Spirit, but we're just human. And he says, look, you have not understood then what it means to be full of the Holy Ghost. You haven't understood? These are things that the enemy brings up. 2 Corinthians 10, it says, take thoughts and reasonings captive. Look, if you look at these words that Paul has written, there is a distinct theme in Paul's writings here. Okay? Live by the Holy Ghost. Stop living by your reasoning. So what I want to do is I want to refer to 4 stories in the Bible as examples. But I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to look at the story, what happened if they reasoned. Okay, so in Luke 13, Jesus goes into the temple, and a woman walks in, and she's bent over. Okay? And the scripture says she has a spirit of infirmity. Okay? And Jesus sees her, and he wants to deliver her. And when you're delivered of a spirit of infirmity, you're also healed. Okay? That's the way it works. So what would happen if she said, oh, no. Jesus, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate your concern for me. However, my mother was like this, my grandmother. This is a generational issue here. This is my lot in life. This is my thorn in the flesh. And don't even get me started on that one. Okay. This is my thorn in the flesh. It's okay, but I really do appreciate it. She would not have been delivered. She would not have been healed. We would not have an account of this story, and Jesus would not have been glorified. Remember those points. Then there's a story of a man with a withered hand. And Jesus says, stretch out your hand. Oh, Jesus, wait a minute. I don't want people to see this. I don't want even want people to know I have a withered hand. I mean, it's ugly. It's ugly. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. I really don't want other people to know. So can we just not do this here? Right now? Would not have been healed. Jesus would not have been glorified. and we would not have an account of a miracle. Okay, well, so what about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is up in the tree. Jesus comes along, says, okay, Zacchaeus, hey, man, yeah, come on down. I want to go stay at your house. Oh, Jesus. Look, Jesus, yeah, I appreciate the thought and gesture. I really do. But I kind of like the relationship we have right now, me and the tree, and you speaking down here at a distance. In my house, I might have to clean up. I might have to change a few things. Could we just not do this right now? Once again, he would not have been converted. He would not have given back money that he stole. We would not have had the testament of Zacchaeus, and Jesus would not have been glorified again. Let's go to John 11. Story of Lazarus. A certain man named Lazarus was ill. Okay? And he's from Bethany, and that's Mary and Martha's sisters lived. This was the Mary. Oh, this is such a good point. I can't get into it. That anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother that was sick. So the sister sent to Jesus. Okay, listen. As soon as he's ill, the sisters go to Jesus. They send word. They pray, however you want to look at it. Saying, I thought it was interesting how they word this. He whom you love is sick. Verse 4. When Jesus received the message, he said, he answered right away. And he spoke truth over the situation right away. He spoke. Nobody got it. Nobody got it. What did Jesus say? This sickness is not to end in death. Okay, listen. But it is to honor God and promote his glory and that the Son of God may be glorified. Truth was spoken over the situation immediately. But what happened? A circumstance crowded in where he's ill and he passes away. The circumstance started to cloud over the fact that Jesus even said anything. The circumstance became priority in their eyes. What's that? The mind of the flesh. Because we're looking at what is happening to us, what's affecting us. Okay? And they say to Jesus later, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. So what happened was the circumstance and the disappointment clouded over the fact that Jesus had even spoke and what he had said was truth over the situation. I believe that we have so much unbelief and lack of prayer in the church because we're disappointed of what Jesus didn't do or didn't do in our timing. I've been there. I'm talking real here. I'm not making this stuff up. It's not good to say. I've been there. I was so hurt and disappointed. I'm a worshiper at heart, okay? And I just said, God, I'm not worshiping anymore. What's the point? What's the point of coming into your presence? When I hurt so much. Of course, I couldn't do it very long. I missed it. I remember one time I was in my kitchen. God speaks to me a lot in the kitchen. Pay attention, women, when you're doing dishes. And he said, Maureen, let's heal this. Okay. So I remember I sat down on the couch. In fact, I laid down on the couch. And I said, okay, but I'm going to do a lot of crying. That's okay. And I laid there, and the Holy Ghost came in and healed the disappointment. And I'll tell you, when I got up, God spoke to me prophetically. He spoke to my heart. He gave me a new vision. Everything just boom, 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 shift. Because that disappointment got healed, and I saw him for who he was again. We walk around thinking the disappointment is who God is. But the truth is who God is. Our disappointment has altered our perception, not changed who God is. Nobody heard the truth Jesus spoke. They got distracted with their life and their disappointment. And Jesus said, after 2 days, okay, let's go now. Well, you know, he's already dead. Let's go now. Everybody, Jesus, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Nobody understood that he was the resurrection and the life, and he was going to be glorified through this situation. Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord God is my strength. He's my personal bravery. He's my invincible army. And he makes my feet like deer's feet. And I will make me to walk, not stand in terror, but walk. Okay, listen to this. And make spiritual progress upon my places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. Have you ever looked at it this way? That God wants to demonstrate to you. He doesn't want you just to read it in the Bible that he's the healer. He wants to demonstrate that he can heal. He doesn't want you just to read in the Bible that he can supply. He wants to demonstrate to you that he can supply. He doesn't want us to just sing about him being the victor and tearing down strongholds. He wants to do it in your life and demonstrate to you that he has overcome and he is creating and making us into overcomers. A lifestyle of living overcoming. Why? Because we're so great? Oh, brother, no. Okay. Because he's victorious and I have died to myself and he now lives in me. The victor crown lives here. That's what he wants to make real. And I remember struggling with some strongholds and this and that and everything else and coming out the other side of it victorious and like, hallelujah, praise God. Oh, man, praise God. Oh, guess what, sister? God can heal you too. Oh, guess what, sister? God can free you too. Oh, guess it. And it was a triumphing on places of trouble and suffering in my life. But when our perspective is not Jesus the victorious, we look at our problems and our troubles as God won't answer my prayer. God doesn't love me. God doesn't hear me. The devil is too big and strong. This is too much to get through. I'll never get over this. And that's what we believe. You know, he says he's building his church. We all know these scripture verses. But we have to believe them. We have to take these scripture verses and put them into a good soiled heart so they become real. So when God says he's building his church, who's the church? Us. He's building me, and he has covenanted with his church, which is me, and has begun a good work and will complete it. But I prayed and I asked for healing, or I prayed and God didn't change my circumstance. And we go to him and we say, God, speak. God, what's going on here? Why am I not healed? What's going on? What is it you need to do in me before you will change the circumstance? But see, we don't do that. And I was saying to Mike the other day, I said, so many people want prayer and they say, pray this off of me, pray this off of me. And they forget, no. Where's your prayer life? What are you praying? What's God saying to you? It's not about praying stuff off of you and you go back to life as usual. God is covenanted to you. This is exciting. He is covenanted to his church. He's building you. He's creating overcomers. I just get frustrated with the enemy's lies. And, you know, we're not supposed to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. I want to read you four quick verses because I want to make a point out of these. You are God's handiwork. To walk in paths that he created beforehand, ahead of time, for you to walk in. He prearranged. Romans 8:29. We know that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. John 6:44 says he drew you. John 15 says he chose you. The Bible also says that he knit you in your mother's womb. He foreknew you. He predestined you. So why would he not be covenanted to you for his glory? But I'd rather stay in this mindset than have Jesus glorified and have a miracle written about my life. He has given you so many opportunities to know him, so many strongholds in your life, so many problems, so much crap going on. Hey, I just want to draw you. I just want to know you. This is the opportunity to see I'm the victor. Look at David, stuck in the wilderness, feeding sheep, playing a harp. What did he say? I was in God's school. He trained my hands for war. With the Goliath. With what I've been through. Because it's all about how big my God is. Not me. We read about the evil one. He wants to get all the focus on you. You're not good enough. You got all this sin, all this crap and everything else going on in your life. Forget it. God's not going to do it. And as soon as you hear that, we should know that's not what this says. I just quoted how many verses do you? That's not what this says. A child of the king who he is covenanted with.
And he's allowed things in my life because he's going to teach me to tread in the high places. Look, when you hear truth, any truth, even small truth that you think is insignificant, no, kingdom truth is insignificant, by the way. When you hear truth, I don't know, you listen to YouTube all the time or whatever you do, you know God spoke to you. You need to stop and pay attention. That was God. I got to pray about this. I got to hold on to this. This is a seed that could bear 100-fold in my life. Do you ever look around and you say, why does that person seem to have it so good and growing God and always hearing God and seem to be blessed and everything else? Because they're grabbing the seed and putting it in a good soil. And that's for all of us. Hear what the Spirit is saying and develop the attitude, everything to God first. Look, we all know this verse too. Come boldly before the throne of grace and you will receive help. We can all run to the throne of God at any moment. Any moment. Hear what he's saying. Prepare your heart. Well, how do I do that? Pray. Read the word. Ask God, God, let me be ready for the next truth you bring. Let my heart hear it. Heal my disappointments. Heal those places of unanswered prayer. Heal those times, Lord God, where I believed things about you that I already know are contrary to the word, but I believe. Because of my circumstance, Lazarus died. How could you say this wouldn't end in death? Because Jesus is sovereign and he knows what he's going to do. Why wouldn't I want to know what he has to say about my circumstance or my life? He knows what he's going to do. Renew your mind. Take thoughts captive and resist the enemy. He's began a good work. Work with him to complete it. Don't push away the Holy Ghost when he speaks to you. I can't tell you how many times I said, okay, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But does that really matter? No, because I can trust you. Take the time to pray or at least turn your heart upward. You're working, you're with the kids, whatever you do, your heart can turn upward. God, what do you got to say about this? How should I pray? What should I do? And you have a sense in your spirit, the Holy Spirit will take you. Be diligent with truth. Guys, this is not something to just throw aside. When have we had more truth handed to us on a platter than now? And you are full of the Holy Ghost, who will guide you into all truth. You are not lesser than. You are not different. You are not too sinful or screwed up. Your past isn't too harsh. These are all things contrary to the truth of who you are in Christ. All of it. When we come into that revelation, guys, we live differently. We're not thrown around and tossed around like we're on sand. When the enemy comes, we get it. Ooh, that's not God. That wasn't a God nature, that thought. Well, that doesn't sit right. We know it. Because we're diligent in truth. I had somebody say to me the other day, you know, oh, Maureen, I still feel unworthy. I said, well, you haven't been diligent. Because you've been feeling unworthy for years. You haven't been diligent in truth. I don't know how much easier it gets than Google. Verses about unworthiness. Click. Pages, come up. Okay. I don't know how much easier it gets. Verses about fear. Yeah, it's like, poof. Okay. And truth is right there. But it's not about reading it or printing one out, sticking it on your fridge. Sorry, it's just a pet peeve of mine. Oh, I'll just read it every day. No! Pray over it. Get it here. I struggled with fear so bad. I was so shy and in the corner, you know? And God came to me and he gave me a revelation on that verse. It's not, you do not have a spirit of fear. Oh, wait a minute. I haven't been addressing this in the spirit. I've been begging God, oh, God, remove this fear, remove this anxiety, remove this timidity. God, where are you? And I got up and I said, fear? You're done. Get out. When I started saying, I'm not taking these lies anymore, I'm not living like this anymore, that's when I overcame. We're not beggars. We're victors. We're overcomers. But we have to be diligent. Remember that one verse I read you? Said, with patience. Endurance. I'm going to hang on to this truth and pray on to it, God, until it bears at least 30-fold in my life, because that's what your scripture says. At least 30. And see the fruit of it. I just so want to encourage you to set your mind on things above. Set it on things above. Guys, we live by circumstance. We live by what comes to our mind. I've had so many women tell me, because I've taught about the battlefield of the mind many times, I've had so many people say to me, I didn't know that I didn't have to think about what comes to my mind. God, help us. Take those thoughts captive. Get him out of there. God, my life sucks. God, you're never here for me. Wait a minute. Get out of here. That's not true. He'll never leave me or forsake me. You hear my prayer. Maybe you're not changing my circumstance, but God, you want to be glorified. Speak to me. Show me. Work in me. I had one gal, she kept calling me every day. Oh, I got to pray healing, pray healing, pray healing, pray healing. And she wasn't getting healed. Pray healing, pray healing. Finally, one day she phoned me and she was driving her car. She goes, Maureen, I just want to apologize for calling and asking for healing all the time. God told me I've been trying to do this in your life. Let's get that done and I'll heal you. And I said, well, praise God. I don't know all the philosophy about healing, but that's what he said to her. Okay. You know? God wants to transform you, not because you're so bad and such a screw up, because he's changing us into the image of Christ for his glory. He's creating victors, overcomers. So be diligent. Father, I thank you, Lord. God, you sent your Holy Spirit. I don't have to try to do this. I have to surrender to it. Father, I surrender to your Holy Spirit. Change me. Speak to me. Help my eyes stay on things above. Lord, I want to pray for those who have disappointment. Lord, I know how hard it is sometimes to open our heart because it hurts so bad. God didn't do this. He didn't answer. He didn't move. But Lord, I pray that they will come to you and ask you to help them open their heart and be healed. Lord, I know that time it probably took an hour. I know times you've healed me in 2 seconds. Father, your spirit, the power of your spirit is real. And you want to heal us, but we walk around and say, well, this is my lot in life. This is what happened to me. What can I do? God, you want to touch your people. You died so you could do it. So, Father, I pray, Lord, we will open our hearts and we'll come to you. Father, for those of us that are believing things that are not true about you, would you reveal it to us? Because, Lord, sometimes I don't think we even realize we're doing it. Father, would you expose those lies, even strongholds that have developed in our thinking, that every time truth comes, I'm going to push back. I'm going to argue. I'm just going to push this out. No, that can't be right. No, that's not true in my circumstance. Well, that's nice for you, but not for me. God, that we will see these strongholds for what they are and let you dismantle them by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, we have tried to do so much in our own strength, and then we get worn out and discouraged. But we can come to the Holy Spirit, who is power and life and peace. And we know, God, we can come to you and you will reveal it. Father, we don't want to stay in the condition we're in. We want the transformation that you died to give us. Lord, the Holy Ghost wasn't just for us so that we could come into a church service and sing some nice songs. It was to glorify the Father in the earth. And God, those that are struggling right now, I ask they will develop this perspective. Wait a minute. This is a place you want to bring me into spiritual growth. This is a place you even want to use me in other people's lives to see change. And I have harbored it. I've exalted it. I've let it remain instead of letting the power of the Holy Ghost come in and change my life. There's so many opportunities in this room right now to experience who God really is. So let's do it. Let's do it. Amen. Amen.